Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Leaders at UNC Chapel Hill are looking at ways to improve campus safety, and we are live with a few of the suggestions from the campus police chief.
Plus, we're getting a look at what new development will look like near Dix Park in Raleigh and a major donation to expand the trail system.
Also, skip the line and enjoy all the State Fair has to offer at a fraction of the price, where you can get discounted tickets now on sale. 1 month after a deadly shooting on UNC Chapel Hill's campus, the Board of Trustees is reviewing the incident and talking about plans for the future. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. That board met this morning and heard a presentation from UNC's police chief. WRL's Monica Casey was in the room. She joins us live from Chapel Hill with what was discussed. Monica.
The Board of Trustees commended the law enforcement response on August 28th. Some of the trustees here in this meeting say they want to ensure UNC police and emergency preparedness departments have all of the tools that they need to respond to situations like that lockdown. Now, UNC Police Chief Brian James gave a recap of the timeline on August 28th. He says UNC police had a 2-minute response time to Caudill Labs. Chief James told trustees multiple agencies searched buildings all over campus for the weapon used in that shooting. He says it still has not been found. Chief James told the trustees UNC police have plans for streamlining future response.
We also want to review camera access and locations on campus to ensure coverage and quick retrieval of video. We just want to ensure that we have cameras in the places that they need to be and try to just prevent or reduce the number of blind spots that we have on campus.
Chief James says many law enforcement agencies have requested an exercise to come onto Chapel Hill's campus to learn the area better. They're also looking at consolidating camera systems across departments and creating a platform to integrate all of those. Chief James also says UNC police are looking at the possibility of asking for license plate readers to ensure they are keeping this campus as safe as possible. Renee?
Monica Casey reporting live from Chapel Hill. Thanks, Monica. A Wake County man faces attempted murder and sexual assault charges for attacking a woman in Knightdale. Police arrested Kerry Dorfield yesterday morning at an apartment complex on Topsail Common Drive. Officers say the victim had been held against her will, beaten, choked, and sexually assaulted. A 5-year-old child who was there was not physically injured. Dorfield is in jail without bond.
Two new apartment towers will soon rise right along the edge of Raleigh's Dix Park. Right now, developers are breaking ground to start construction of The Weld. This is a live look at that celebration here. And these are artist renderings of what the structures will look like. The $700 million project is replacing an industrial area and several small homes along Lake Wheeler Road and Hamill Drive. WRL's Matt Tallhelm is there to show us how this development connects to the park's transformation into a destination.
You can see there are now three tall cranes towering over Dix Park here, all three building apartment buildings, including these two, which are getting ready to build two 20-story towers here. Developers are celebrating the groundbreaking for The Weld. Although site work is already underway to prepare for construction of the buildings, it will bring 675 apartments right across the street from the park. This morning, developers also announced a donation of $500,000 to the Dix Park Conservancy. That money will help create a trail system in the park. Right now, the city is working on phase one of the park's transformation. That includes construction of the Gibson Play Plaza, an 18-acre playground and picnic area along Lake Wheeler Road.
If we can add some activity along the perimeter of the park, you know, giving it a connection to downtown, then I think it benefits both, right? It gives people that want to come to the park a place to live or a place to eat or a place to grab a coffee. And it gives obviously an awesome amenity for our residents that, you know, they've got a really large green space next door they can take advantage of.
Construction on this first phase of The Weld is expected to finish in the summer of 2025. This is just the first phase. In total, there are expected to be 1,200 apartments here. Matt Tallhelm, WRAL News, Raleigh.
City of Raleigh plans to improve Lake Wheeler Road right along the park there. This is what that will look like. Plans include several roundabouts between the State Farmers Market and South Saunders Street. Construction should start next fall.
A short time ago, Tropical Storm Rena formed in the Atlantic. We are just cruising through the alphabet. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center, keeping an eye on its track as well as Philippe's.
Yeah, we only have four or five names left on the list. And now here we are, just not quite to October yet. So Philippe is here and Rena is here. These two are very close together. We'll talk a little bit more about Philippe coming up, but you can see it here, both of them almost looking like one big storm here. Rena is 1,100 miles east of the Leeward Islands, moving north at 10 miles per hour. It has 40 mile per hour winds. So it's a weak tropical storm at this point. We're looking at it traveling in a different direction from Philippe. Philippe looks like it's going to hang out down here and head down to the south and west. And we'll take a look at that in a few minutes. But this one definitely bears watching. The forecast path of this storm aims it up toward Bermuda by the time we get to Tuesday at 8 a.m. But take a look at the computer model plots for this. There is no real good consensus here. A few of them don't take it anywhere near Bermuda and just turn it up into the Atlantic. One of them takes it down to the Leeward Islands, and a couple of them do bring it over toward Bermuda. So we'll keep our eye on it. You know, anything that's headed toward Bermuda is something that we'll be watching very closely. We would have, you know, over a week before it had any effect in the United States, if it did. And again, coming up, we'll take a close look at Philippe and some improving weather across our area.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, an update on a story that we've been following last week. Police have arrested Daniel Locklear and charged him with attempted murder. This is the man that was involved in the shooting with a Dunn police officer on September 19th in Linden at the gas station. He's been charged with 5 counts of attempted murder, 14 counts of discharging a firearm into occupied property, among a long list of other charges. He's being held at the Cumberland County Detention Center on a $1.1 million secured bond. His first appearance will be September 28th at 2:30 p.m. at the Cumberland County Detention Center.
Michelle, thanks. Three conservative legal analysts are expected to testify today at the first impeachment inquiry hearing of President Joe Biden. The hearing is underway right now on Capitol Hill. The GOP-led House committee has been investigating the president and his son for months. So far, no evidence has been produced to show the president broke the law, nor benefited financially or used his office to help his son. Seven candidates for the GOP presidential nomination are clamoring for the spotlight and taking their chance to attack former President Donald Trump as he remains absent from the debate stage. Trump's challengers took the stage at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library last night for their second debate. His nearest polling rival, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, was among the candidates who took aim at Trump.
Donald Trump is missing in action. He should be on this stage tonight. He owes it to you to defend his record, where they added $7.8 trillion to the debt.
You're not here tonight, not because of polls and not because of your indictments. You're not here tonight because you're afraid of being on the stage and defending your record.
The candidates also clashed over where to spend taxpayer dollars, from supporting Ukraine against Russia to securing the southern border. A new NBC News poll shows former President Trump is in a dead heat with President Biden. Coming up in 10 minutes, what Trump told auto workers in Michigan, where he spoke last night instead of going to the debate.
And all this happening, Renee, while funding for the federal government runs out in less than 72 hours, and there is still no plan to prevent a shutdown. There have been 20 gaps in federal funding since 1976. Most of them occurred when a single party is not in control of the White House, House, and Senate. Lucas Tomlinson reports that might not be the case this time.
I am the inevitable in politics.
President Biden striking an optimistic tone with a possible government shutdown just around the corner. The feds run out of money at the end of the day on Saturday. And rather than coming together, the House and Senate are drifting further apart. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy was hoping to win over skeptical conservatives by adding border security provisions to his short-term spending bill. But even members who are pushing for border funding say McCarthy isn't telling the whole story.
That's a hollow promise and a pipe dream, because when they go over to the Senate, they're going to be stripped out.
Meanwhile, a Senate bill funding the government for 6 weeks is still a non-starter in the House because it contains funding for Ukraine. Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is urging Republicans to come together, but also says, quote, "I can't have an impact on what happens in the House."
Now we're in the middle of a process fight amongst our own, and I think a process fight doesn't really help us.
And with the shutdown all but inevitable at this point, government employees are bracing for a payday without a paycheck, with as many as 4 million workers potentially impacted by the impasse.
We are American workers, and we want to do our job. It's Congress that's locking us out of our job.
As Lucas Tomlinson reporting, Speaker McCarthy unveils his short-term spending bill today while also admitting he doesn't know if he has the votes to pass it.
This afternoon, President Biden is set to honor his longtime friend, the late Republican Senator John McCain, in McCain's home state of Arizona. The president will announce funding from the American Rescue Plan to build the McCain Library. This is in partnership with the McCain Institute and Arizona State. The multipurpose facility will provide education, work, and health monitoring programs to undeserved communities in the state. Biden and McCain were friends for decades.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, huge news. Epic Games says they are laying off hundreds of people, about 16% of their staff. The news was announced to employees this morning, and owner Tim Sweeney said, "For a while now, we've been spending way more money than we earn. I had been optimistic that we could power through without layoffs, but in retrospect, I see this was unrealistic." Epic is building a new headquarters campus in Cary at the former Cary Town Center Mall. You can read more about the story on WREL TechWire.com.
Skip the line and save money by grabbing your 2023 North Carolina State Fair tickets in advance at a discount. Discounted tickets went on sale this morning at three locations around Raleigh. Admission tickets, ride tickets, and unlimited ride wristbands can be purchased between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. at Gate 9 over at the State Fairgrounds, off Trinity Road from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the State Farmers Market ticket booth, and at the lobby of the North Carolina Museum of History. This year's fair runs October 12th through the 22nd.
Next at noon, a dangerous man is off the street, accused of killing a young tech CEO in Baltimore. The other crimes police believe can be traced to him.
Also, a Delaware state trooper is suspended without pay. How he responded to some kids pranking him is the reason why we'll explain.
Well, so Harnett County Hospital is ending its labor and delivery services. At 12:30, WRL's Gilbert Bays joins us with the reason why.
Download the new WRL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
A man wanted in the death of a Baltimore tech executive is now in police custody. Police believe convicted felon Jason Billingsley killed Pavel LePere this week. NBC's Emily Aketa reports this isn't the only recent crime to which Billingsley may be linked.
This morning, after a three-day manhunt, authorities confirming the arrest of Jason Billingsley, suspected in the killing of tech CEO Pavel LePere. The U.S. Marshals telling NBC affiliate WBAL, Billingsley was captured in connection to the murder at a train station in Bowie, Maryland.
Our special investigation section and homicide unit have been working aggressively to identify the suspect responsible for this tragic incident.
LePere was found dead of apparent blunt force injuries Monday in the apartment building where friends say she lived and worked, sparking a massive manhunt for her killer. The mother of the suspect telling NBC News in a telephone interview she had texted with her son. "I told him to turn himself in because they're going to kill him." Also saying that her son showed her a gun Monday, but she believes he's trying to sell it. Authorities not revealing any connection between the 26-year-old rising star entrepreneur and the suspect, but say Billingsley has a lengthy rap sheet, including sex offenses and assault. He was released from jail last October, according to authorities, who are now confirming Billingsley is also wanted in connection with an attempted murder, arson, and rape that occurred in another part of Baltimore just last week.
Hey, Pavo, CEO and founder of EcoMap Technologies.
While a student at Johns Hopkins University, LePere founded EcoMap Technologies. Her family, friends, and colleagues gathering for a vigil in her honor Wednesday, saying LePere was compassionate about her community and her work.
She inspired so many people through her brilliance, through her passion, through her zest for life, through her authenticity.
That was Emily Aketa reporting. A Delaware state trooper is suspended without pay after authorities say he brutally beat a teenager who pulled a doorbell prank. Prosecutors say it started with a prank often called Ding Dong Ditch. In this case, a kick to the door before the teen runs. But the house was that of a Delaware state trooper, Dempsey Walters. Prosecutors say Dempsey chased down the teens, then had them drop to the ground. Lawyers say he turned off his body camera before punching the handcuffed 15-year-old in the back of the car.
As a mother and a grandmother, watching that video footage is very difficult. As a prosecutor, the constitutional violations I saw were stunning.
Walters was indicted under Delaware's new deprivation of civil rights law and pleaded not guilty. The teen's lawyer says it took two surgeons, 8 hours to put plates, 11 screws, and a piece of mesh on his face.
An Ohio high school football coach has resigned after using a hateful term for a play call during a game. The community of Beechwood in Ohio is largely Jewish, and the Brooklyn High School football team used the word Nazi in play calls against Beechwood High School. The superintendent of Brooklyn City Schools apologized and accepted the resignation of head football coach.
However many words there are in the English language, this is probably one of a small handful that you just don't say.
And those who participate in it get educated to understand what the impact and meaning of their behavior really had on society.
The school superintendent says accountability was swiftly and wholly administered with the head coach's resignation. Sad news from the world of Harry Potter. Irish actor Sir Michael Gambon was portrayed in Hogwarts headmaster Dumbledore from 2004 to 2011. He has died. Sir Michael won four TV BAFTAs for his work in TV, film, radio, and theater over a career spanning five decades. He died peacefully in the hospital with his wife and son at his side following a bout with pneumonia. Gambon was 82.
A Raleigh family's long-held secret is now known by fans of Fox 50's Family Feud with host Steve Harvey.
You said elephant. Survey said.
Team Ellertani won the $20,000 prize on the show. The show recorded the five-member winning team last February, so it was a long-held secret until now. Nada Ellertani was the one who had to convince her husband, her sisters, and brother to be on the show.
I have been a fan forever. My whole family has been a fan forever. And so the hardest part was just getting everyone to agree to do this with me.
Family visited our WRL studios before the results were revealed on Fox 50 last night. The Ellertani family was relieved to be able to let everyone know they won. Congratulations.
Oh, good for them. The Over the Edge fundraiser for Special Olympics North Carolina is tomorrow. WRL's Ashley Rowe is taking part in it this year. She will rappel 30 stories down the side of the Wells Fargo building on Fayetteville Street. Some of our other WRL colleagues have done this in the past. Casey Hintz did it last, and Elizabeth Gardner has done it in the past. Good fun, scary, you know, hopefully not too windy and a nice day out there.
And we'll get to talk to Ashley on our new news tomorrow as she does this live. And Elizabeth, I know you have some good advice for her.
Yep, the biggest advice, don't look down.
Right.
Just don't look down. Renee's already said that she's going to do it next year.
She's on the hook.
She's
now
making a face. It's beautiful in Durham, where there's some other beautiful tall buildings here. Partly cloudy skies. We're seeing interesting conditions across the area. The farther west you are, the more sunshine we're seeing. We have a low pressure system that sat close to the coast yesterday and helped to bring us that gray day with the cool temperatures. We're still just sitting at 69 degrees officially in the triangle. Our dew point's a very pleasant 56. We're likely to climb up into the mid 70s, a little bit warmer than we were yesterday. We take a look at the big picture. Yesterday, our low pressure system was sitting closer to Cape Hatteras, and it was really feeding in that cool, moist flow out of the North Atlantic into our area. But the low continues to sink farther south and away from us, and it's relaxing its hold on the area, allowing our skies to clear up a little bit. So here's a look at the high-resolution satellite from Fayetteville up toward Raleigh. We're seeing mostly some sunshine mixed with cloud cover. However, east of Fayetteville, up through Goldsboro and even parts of Rocky Mount, Wilson, and into Roanoke Rapids, we're still seeing some cloud cover. Those clouds will likely very slowly start to dissipate as we get through the afternoon, but definitely seeing some varying conditions across the area. Fayetteville's already a nice warm 74, but it's 61 in Roxborough, 68 in Rocky Mount, and 69 in Southern Pines. These temperatures are just a little bit warmer than yesterday. In some places, just 1 degree, but in others, as much as 3 to 5 degrees warmer. And that's exactly what we were expecting. It was breezy yesterday, and we're still seeing some breezy conditions today, too. Only one spot reporting gusts right now, and that's going to be right at RDU, 21 mile per hour gusts. Everybody else looking at temperatures between 5 and 15 miles per hour. And we'll see that continuing on through the afternoon, looking at winds gusting across the viewing area from 10 to 15, maybe some isolated 18 or 19 mile per hour gusts. Pretty pleasant afternoon for us. 74 Raleigh, 72 Durham, 77 in Fayetteville. We take a look at our forecast, and the future cast is definitely reflecting what we're seeing outside right now, that really from the Triangle area westward is where we're seeing a bit more sunshine, and that cloud cover still hanging around, say, for Clinton, Goldsboro, and Rocky Mount. Tomorrow we'll probably wake up to some cloud cover, but we're going to see even more sunshine tomorrow. That will allow us to warm up to 80 degrees, which is very close to normal, and near normal temperatures continue into early next week. It's going to make for a beautiful weekend for the Bluegrass Festival. It's Friday and Saturday. We'll see partly cloudy skies Friday. Mostly sunny Saturday, 80 Friday, 79 on Saturday. Just really, really nice fall weather, no matter what you have planned. It's football Friday. Temperatures at game time will be in the low 70s, and then at the end of the game in the upper 60s. So sweatshirt probably feels great coming up in just a little while. We'll talk more about the forecast for a lot of college games that are around our area. No matter what you have planned over the weekend, looking nice. Temperatures in the upper 70s, and we're looking at low 80s for highs by early next week.
The 80s creeping back in for the fall. Millions of families will be left to figure out alternative childcare options after an estimated 70,000 programs close at the end of the month. Today at 4, the ripple effect the end of federal funding will have on American families and their children when it expires September 30th.
Millions of cars plus a popular baby item that can cause death. Coming up at 5:30, 5 on Your Side's Keely Arthur breaks down the most important because of the month in September recall report. And still ahead this noon, the government is suing eBay for violating environmental laws. The astonishing number of products the Department of Justice says the e-commerce retailer distributed.
Plus, the IRS is lowering the threshold to tax earnings from online transactions. Why this can impact everything from a side hustle to reselling concert tickets.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we have an important recall to tell you about. These 5-in-1 rocker bassinets are being recalled because they pose suffocation, strangulation, and fall hazards to infants. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission says they failed to meet the safety requirements. These bassinets were sold online at Walmart and other retailers as well. The company says if you have this, throw it away immediately.
More than half of American workers say they don't feel like they are saving enough for retirement. A new survey by Bankrate also found that 37% feel significantly behind. Only 1 in 4 workers say they are contributing more to their retirement savings this year compared to last year. Nearly a third of workers say they believe they would need to save more than $1 million to retire comfortably. Airbnb is urging Paris residents to put their homes up for rent during the 2024 Olympics. Airbnb says it's expecting to host as many as 500,000 people in Paris during the Summer Games. The CEO says an increase in rental listings will keep the price contained for visitors and provide financial benefits for the hosts.
A local hospital that serves people who live in rural areas is closing down its labor and delivery unit. Ahead at noon, what's forcing this closure and what this means for the people who live nearby?
And ghost guns found inside a daycare, how they got there and who is being held accountable. First, here's a look at your winning North Carolina Education Lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Beginning next month, Betsy Johnson Hospital in Dunn will no longer deliver babies in Harnett County.
The hospital is operated by Cape Fear Valley Health System in Fayetteville. And WRAL's Gilbert Bays is live after speaking with the hospital administrators about this decision that will affect hundreds of expectant mothers. Gilbert, what do they tell you?
Well, Jeff, this is about the numbers, basically, is what it boils down to. This hospital, this is Bessie Johnson Hospital here in Dunn, delivers between 300 and 400 babies a year. Then you throw into this mixture here the medical shortage that was created by the pandemic. Then you get a better sense of why this hospital is not going to be delivering any babies. Now, this is a nationwide problem. They're called maternity deserts. We're told about 36% of the counties in the United States don't provide labor and delivery services. And here in North Carolina, 21 of our 100 counties don't have hospitals with maternity wards. Administrators say the decision to stop delivering babies at this hospital goes beyond finances. The most important factor is the safety of the babies and their mothers.
Right now, we're delivering about one baby on average a day up there. It's very difficult to staff a unit for that volume, particularly when there's an emergency and you go from needing one or two nurses to many nurses at one time.
Now, the hospital says that they will continue to provide other OBGYN services and will work closely with patients to transfer records for those who want their babies delivered outside the hospital, the system of Cape Fear Valley Health System. But some of those services, again, still will be provided here. The closest hospital probably for those who are in a maternity status right now would be to go to UNC Hospital in Johnston County. Jeff, they're hoping that the patients here will come down to Fayetteville because a lot of the doctors here that work at Bessie Johnson work very closely with the hospital in Fayetteville. But if you want to make a change, the hospital is going to work very closely with you to make that a transition as smooth as possible.
That's certainly good to hear. And Gilbert, like you said, we've been reporting on this nationally, and now it hits closer to home. Gilbert Bay is live for us this noon. Thank you.
And it's not just labor and delivery departments that are closing in rural areas. Many Americans across the country are struggling to find primary care doctors. In fact, one estimate projects a shortage of up to 48,000 primary care doctors in the U.S. by 2034. The American Medical Association says it takes 10 years to educate and train a doctor while the population grows and ages.
We know that health outcomes are worse when people don't have access to primary care. They live shorter lives and they live sicker lives.
The American Medical Association says more federal funding is needed to increase training slots. The average $200,000 in medical school debt must be eased and physician burnout addressed.
County by county coverage takes us to Wilson, Edgecombe, and Orange counties. Today, the Miracle League opens a new field in Wilson in honor of Kenan Hinnant. Hinnant was 5 years old when police say a man shot him to death as he was riding a bike outside his father's home. The new field will open tonight at 6. The Miracle League is an inclusive baseball league for people with disabilities. The field is specially designed to accommodate wheelchairs and other mobility devices. It'll be at the J. Burt Gillette Athletic Complex on Corbett Avenue.
People are walking to raise money for life-saving heart research. The 2023 Twin Counties Heart Walk is Saturday morning. The walk is a mile long, and it starts at the Courthouse Square in Tarboro. There's still time to sign up and fundraise for the American Heart Association. They are more than halfway to reaching the fundraising goal of $100,000. A link to sign up is on the Town of Tarboro's Facebook page. The Carrboro Music Festival is this weekend, and the town wants to help you get there. In order for performers to have a place to park, there will not be as many public parking spots near the venues. There will be a free shuttle from the Jones Ferry Road lot. You're asked to walk or bike between venues. To find more information on Sunday's festival and transportation, visit carrboronc.gov.
People who made money from reselling tickets to events online could face new scrutiny from the IRS. Jerry Willis takes a look at how the new $600 rule could affect fans.
Looking to resell those tickets you bought to a concert or a sporting event? Well, the IRS will be taking a closer look at the transaction. The agency implementing a new law that lowers the tax threshold for users of certain platforms like Ticketmaster and StubHub. The platforms must now provide the IRS with information if the seller's ticket resales in 2023 are worth more than $600. And that's a big change from the previous threshold of $20,000 in more than 200 transactions. Now, just a single transaction could trigger a flag.
Well, there's a lot of money to be made in this area. Clearly, the model that's being used now is broken.
Taxpayers who hit the $600 max will be sent a 1099-K form to report the money they've made from sales on their 2023 taxes. Sellers will owe additional taxes only if they made a profit by selling tickets for more than they originally paid. The new changes stemming from a revenue-generating measure in the American Rescue Plan Act. It's been a massive year for resales, with soccer fans flocking to see Lionel Messi, Beyoncé's Renaissance Tour, and, of course, Taylor Swift's Eras Tour.
What we need to do is make sure that the scalpers, the bots, can't jack up those prices to exorbitant levels.
That was Jerry Willis reporting. According to StubHub, the average price for Taylor Swift tickets that were resold by fans was more than $1,000.
It's Clean Energy Week, and Governor Cooper is touring Fayetteville Technical Community College to highlight the workforce training programs there. On the tour, Cooper and state leaders will view a solar panel demonstration, an EV and cybersecurity class. WRL's Liz McLaughlin will be on the tour, and she'll have an update for us on our evening news. Still to come, guns seized from a daycare center. Who police say made those guns from a 3D printer and stored them there?
The federal government is going after eBay, the harmful products it accuses the online retailer of selling.
Welcome back as we take a live look at North Hills in Raleigh. A mix of sun and clouds, mostly cloudy out there. Temperatures very comfortable in the 70s. You're watching WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
An 18-year-old and two minors face charges after police found ghost guns in a New York City daycare. Police say the 18-year-old made the guns at the daycare run by his mother. Officer seized two completed 3D printed weapons and one nearly finished assault pistol. They also took the materials used to make the weapons. The charges include criminal possession of a loaded firearm, manufacturing a machine gun, and four counts of criminal possession of a weapon. The government is suing eBay for violating environmental laws. The lawsuit accuses the California-based company of allowing users to sell more than 370,000 harmful products, including devices that defeat automobile pollution controls. eBay could face billions of dollars in penalties, including more than $5,000 for each violation of the Clean Air Act. The company denies the claim and says it will defend itself vigorously.
New research reveals teens are getting hundreds of notifications on their smartphone. Common Sense Media surveyed 200 11 to 17-year-olds. The report shows the teenagers received more than 230 notifications per day. A quarter of those notifications popped up during school hours. More than half of the teens admitted that it is difficult to put down their phones. Keeping a consistent sleep schedule could help slow down your aging. A new study looked at the sleeping habits of 6,000 people. Some participants had a big difference in the amount of time they slept during the week versus the weekend. Researchers found that those participants had a biological age 9 months older compared to those who had a consistent sleep schedule.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, this is exciting. NASCAR and Speedway Motorsports announced today that the 40th running of the NASCAR All-Star Race will take place at the historic North Wilkesboro Speedway. This is a three-day weekend of events of motorsports, May 17th through the 19th of next year. And before the race, this is interesting, the track will be repaved for the first time since 1981. They say schedules, fan entertainment, and broadcast information will be released at a later time.
Tonight, the Grand Ole Opry House welcomes some of the biggest names in country music for a very special event. After the break, we'll have a preview of the first ever People's Choice Country Awards. And Meta's latest virtual reality headset is actually giving users a bit of mixed reality. What you can expect from Quest 3. Secretary of State Antony Blinken launched a new initiative at the White House, and he revealed a talent many probably didn't know he had.
Gonna make pretty women's.
What is happening there? Wow, singing, playing guitar. The Global Music Diplomacy Initiative is a worldwide effort to elevate music as a diplomatic tool to promote peace and democracy. The event featured live performances by Blinken, obviously, and Jamie Barton, Herbie Hancock, and several others. Renowned record producer Quincy Jones received the first ever Peace Through Music Award. That was wild to hear. 82nd Airborne Division Chorus gave their all during the live finale of America's Got Talent. And they didn't win the top prize, but they'll always be tops in our hearts.
Bo diddly bo diddly, have you heard?
Bo diddly bo diddly, have you heard?
We're gonna jump from a big on bird.
Adrian Stoica! They opened the show last night, a nice encore as we learned the results of America's vote. In the end, the 82nd Airborne was not chosen as the winner of the $1 million prize. That honor went to dog trainer Adrian Stoica and his pup Hurricane.
A week started with the return of The Voice, and the finale last night of America's Got Talent continues tonight on WREL with the first ever People's Choice Country Awards. Mark Barger spoke with the hosts about tonight's live show that's being held in a very familiar place.
If you're hosting a country music awards show,
there's something special about that energy, and it's live TV.
There may be no better place to do it than the Genres Cathedral, the Grand Ole Opry House.
It has a spiritual kind of element to it. There's an energy, you feel the history of the past, of the artists that came before you.
The artist of today will be the focus tonight when Little Big Town hosts the first ever People's Choice Country Awards.
It's kind of challenging. It's a challenge. And I feel like we as a band like challenges.
The group's no stranger to awards themselves over their nearly 25 years. Among tonight's recipients is Wynonna. The Country Champion Award will honor her decades-long commitment to philanthropy and social advocacy.
I have had a tough year, personally, and it feels really good to be getting some clothes made, getting on an airplane and flying out, to be adored.
Love will also be showered on Toby Keith. The performing and songwriting legend's been battling stomach cancer, and he'll receive the Country Icon Award.
I know those are going to be emotional moments. Yeah. We haven't seen Toby in a while, and so that's going to be great to see him back on that stage.
Performances from some of country's biggest names, including Blake Shelton, will highlight a big night for country fans.
It is for the people, by the people, and they are our people.
And it's their show.
That's right.
Mark Barger, NBC News.
And maybe one day there could be a surprise appearance by Secretary of State Antony Blinken. I am still processing that, just listening to him play the guitar.
So like Elvis riff, you know, he had that bluesy thing going. That was...
You see a whole different side of him.
Pretty cool, yeah. Brought sunshine to my heart.
No.
Elizabeth Gardner in the WRS.
Is there sunshine out there?
Yeah, somewhere out there there's some sunshine.
There is. It's not everywhere just yet, but it's coming. By tomorrow, a lot more of us will end up seeing some sunshine. But we have some sunshine trying to peek through here in Apex and in Chapel Hill. It's we had some sun earlier in Fayetteville. It's still fairly cloudy. It's going to be pretty cloudy in Goldsboro for the bulk of the day today. The closer you are to the coast or down to the south, the more likely you are to see the clouds for the rest of the day. Most of us will wake up to cloud cover tomorrow morning, but the bulk of us will start to see more sunshine during the afternoon. So we're still, I'll call it variably cloudy, mostly cloudy in the east, some sunshine popping out in the west. For Friday afternoon, partly cloudy, and then mostly sunny Saturday, Sunday, and Monday and Tuesday. We have some really pretty weather, really starting Friday all the way into early next week, that just beautiful fall weather. Let's talk about what's going on out there right now. We have a lot of cloud cover in the east, and we're fairly clear in the west. That's still thanks to this low pressure system. Now that low is sinking southward and will dissipate, and that's going to sort of release us from the cloudy conditions that we've seen to start the week, and we'll end up with some sunshine. Notice by the afternoon on Friday, almost everybody's seeing some sunshine, and then on Saturday we'll pause it at 5 o'clock, looking good, mostly sunny to partly cloudy, nice and bright on Sunday, and that will continue into Monday and Tuesday. So like I said, some good looking weather coming our way. Because we had so much rain last weekend, I really felt like when the drought status came out today that we would see most
most of this abnormally dry area removed from the map, but it isn't. And so we still have just a few patches that are abnormally dry, but generally we're looking good. We're, you know, easily over 100% of normal for the last 30 days in terms of our rainfall. So we can enjoy a nice dry Friday evening for Football Friday. Temperatures will be in the low 70s as the games begin, and then in the 60s as things wrap up. Louisville plays at NC State also Friday. So again, sort of same story, temperatures in the 70s to begin with as the games are over in the mid 60s. So sweatshirt will feel nice. We'll see partly cloudy skies, should feel great. Notre Dame plays at Duke, and Jeff told me to add 9 o'clock to this. I totally forgot to. It's game day. And anybody who watches ESPN knows what that means. A lot of folks are going to be out there at 9 a.m. Because they're going to be broadcasting there in the morning. And the weather on Saturday morning will be lovely. Temperatures will be in the 60s at 9 o'clock. And we'll see partly cloudy skies all day. Game time is at 7:30. So looking at temperatures near 70. If you're tailgating in the afternoon, 5 o'clock temperatures will be in the mid 70s. So it's really going to be a beautiful day for that game. And I know a lot of folks are excited about it being game day on ESPN for Duke. We have Philippe and Rena out here in the Atlantic. Both of these are really close together. We talked about Rena at the beginning of the newscast. It has winds at 40 miles per hour. The forecast from the Hurricane Center swings it up toward Bermuda. But when you take a look at the computer model plots, they are all over the place. So this one's going to be interesting to watch. Philippe, maybe not so much. It has winds at 50 miles per hour right now, but it's almost stationary. And it looks like it's just going to sort of wander around here and eventually fizzle out. Every time we get a new run of the computer models, it looks a little bit different. These two storms are really close together. And so that's why they're going to be a little bit harder to predict. All right, we're looking pretty into the weekend, upper 70s Saturday and Sunday, and then some low 80s for the early part of next week.
All right, Elizabeth, thank you. New addition at a zoo in the UK might be cute, not cuddly though. Why this sighting was extra special. We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. 1 month after a deadly shooting on the UNC Chapel Hill campus, the Board of Trustees is reviewing the incident and talking about plans for the future. UNC Police Chief Brian James gave a recap of the timeline on August 28th, and he also said the weapon used in the shooting still has not been found.
A Wake County man faces attempted murder and sexual assault charges for attacking a woman in Knightdale. Police arrested Carrie Dorfield early yesterday morning at an apartment complex on Topsail Common Drive. A 5-year-old child who was there was not physically hurt. Dorfield is in jail without bond.
Two new apartment towers will soon rise right along the edge of Raleigh's Dix Park. Right now, developers are breaking ground to start construction of The Weld. It consists of 1,200 apartments in two high-rise buildings on 3.5 acres at Dix Park. The buildings will have 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom apartments that overlook the park.
The next generation of virtual reality gaming is coming soon. Mark Zuckerberg says Meta's new Quest 3 virtual reality headset will come out October 10th. Some of the new features include being able to play a virtual piano using your coffee table. There's also a new game that will let you build Lego sets in virtual reality.
We're getting our first look at a spiky new addition to the Whipsnade Zoo in the United Kingdom. It's a porcupet. It was born last month to Mom Kimya and Dad Winga. Porcupines are mostly nocturnal creatures, but the baby Cape porcupine was spotted munching on carrots and tomatoes recently. The zoo won't know whether the baby is male or female until its first vet checkup in a few months, so we will have to stay tuned for a name for that. Cute but prickly.
Our pet of the day is Oliver, a 10-month-old neuter male dog weighing 25 pounds. He's good with everyone from older kids to senior citizens. For more information about Oliver, go to spcawake.org.
NBC News Daily is up next on WRAL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Have a wonderful Thursday.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.